Thank you very much for coming, everybody. My name's Harry Lloyd Owen. I live in Amherstpice, which is north of Burgess Hill, and I've been given the great honour of chairing this meeting. And it's a meeting to inform people, to hear opinions, to ask questions, and it's been organised by the Burgess Hill Action Group, and we're joined this evening by three people. There may be a fourth who's coming later. But to my right sits Andrew Barrett-Miles, and he is also a district councillor. And the format of the evening will follow that each of the three speakers will do a short introduction and talk about their particular subjects. And his will be a discussion of the townwide strategy, and then also where he sees the Northern Arc going. To my left, we have Justin French Brooks. He's the chairman of CPRE Sussex. CPRE is the Council for Protection of Rural England. And he'll be speaking to you a little bit about what he does and his own opinions. And then to my very left, we have Kevin Hudson. And Kevin is the spokesperson for BHAG, the Burgess Hill Action Group. And he'll obviously be speaking on their behalf about some of the issues. And just before we start, and I'd like them to talk, obviously, we just have some house rules, and they're really just matters of common sense. Please don't interrupt people. If you'd like to speak, please do put up your hand, and one of the people with the roving microphones will come around. But in no particular order, Mr. Barrett-Miles, perhaps if you start, and as I said, the speakers will do a short introduction, talk about their own particular things, and then we'll move on to questions, because that's really the format. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I sympathise with a lot of the feelings that people have about development. Those of you who know me, and there are one or two here, know that I have fought and challenged most of the major developments and a lot of the smaller ones in Burgess Hill over the last 10 years, even before I became a town councillor. The town council, on its part, has also challenged all of the major applications that have gone forward and which have resulted in the existing 1,709 houses which have currently been approved for Burgess Hill. But the town council and myself have discovered over the years that we are highly constrained by the planning system. The planning system dictates what can be done. We learnt very early on that if an application for a development of a site is in a plan, you cannot fight, well, you can fight, but your chances of succeeding in stopping that application is very limited. All you can possibly do is actually influence what it's like, how big it is, how the roads are laid out, spacing between houses, level of car parking, this sort of thing, the detail. You can challenge on the detail, and that's what the town council has done consistently for the last 8 years. Because of these rules and regulations, and one of the most important part of these rules and regulations is what is called housing supply. The government insists that every district council must have 5 years' supply of housing land at any one point. And that five-year number is based on the latest plan. Now, the latest plan for Mid-Sussex is the South East Plan. This was developed during the Labour government. It started off with Mid-Sussex having about 15,000 houses that it had to build in a 20-year period between 2006 and 2026. That number, by courtesy of the Secretary of State for Planning or whatever he was called, John Prescott was his other name, increased it to 17,100 houses for Mid-Sussex, 855 houses a year. And that in itself is a big enough number, but if Mid-Sussex didn't achieve the 855,000 in any one year. The next 5 years, that number would increase because you had to make up the deficit, and so on and so on. And at the moment, against the South East plan, Mid-Sussex has to have planning applications for the next 5 years of over 5,000 houses. And what does that mean? It means that if anybody comes along with a planning application, even for a nice greenfield site, and if you look around Burgess Hill, you know there are not many brownfield sites, even back gardens now have been classified or were classified by the Conservative government as greenfield. There is hardly any brownfield space. Therefore, if you're going to have to build 5,000 houses, it's going to have to be, regrettably, built on greenfield land. And if any developer comes along with a plan which is sustainable, that means that it blends in with the existing town or village, whatever, there is a presumption in favour of that development. That is what we're up against. That is what you're up against. That's what the town council is up against. That's what the town council has been up against now for 5 or 6 years. And another thing which has come with this is that we have suffered as a town from piecemeal development. That means somebody comes along with a planning application here, it's approved, or the district council refuses it, then it goes off to the planning inspector, who's independent of government, and he approves it. He says, no, it can happen because you haven't got your 5-year housing supply. And then he looks at what infrastructure is needed, and he says, I don't think this amount of money that the developer is going to give you, you know, there's no justification of that. I'm going to halve the amount of money that he's going to allow for infrastructure improvements. And so you get a vicious circle, and that's what we suffer from, that we've had houses over the last 5-10 years, but we haven't had sufficient infrastructure. We have had some, but we haven't had sufficient. So the town council was in the mid-2000s, was faced with the prospect of houses being built in Burgess Hill. There had been a study done by a company called Atkins, who was commissioned by Mid-Sussex, West Sussex, to say, how can we fit 17,000 houses in Mid-Sussex? Ah, we can put 9,000 round Burgess Hill. This was cut back through discussion to 5,000. And some of you who read the MIDI may have noticed in, I think it's 2006 or 2007, a big headline which said 5,000 houses for Burgess Hill, round the north and the west side of Burgess Hill. That was the first time it was in the public domain. That was the first time it became a serious threat to those of you who live just to the north of Burgess Hill. Nothing much was done by anybody, it was dismissed, but that was the time that the developers started to develop their plans. The town council sort of woke up to this in about 2007, mainly due to the frustration we've experienced over all these other planning applications that had happened and we hadn't got enough for it. Now, I'll take the example of Folders Lane. Thousands is an exaggeration. A number of small 520 house developments all the way down Folders Lane. The planning inspector looked at it and said, oh, you don't need anything for traffic. And then the next one, oh, because it's small, you don't need any infrastructure for traffic. And so you've got all these things happening, but those of us who lived near that particular road, suffered the cumulative impact of all these little developments which the inspector didn't think needed any work done on or any infrastructure to help them be absorbed. Also in 2007, the district council came up with something called a small-scale housing allocation document, big mouthful, which the government said, you've got to do this, you've got to provide a number of houses. That came up with 1,000 houses for Burgess Hill. We said to the district council, We cannot go along with this unless there's something in there about infrastructure, and the only way you can get anything about infrastructure is for it to be subject to a town-wide strategy. So we developed the town-wide strategy purely to protect the town, to ensure that the town got its infrastructure. The town-wide strategy is giving us £40 million worth of infrastructure. Just to put that in perspective, we have around about £3.5 million worth of infrastructure funds available to us at the moment from the development over the past 10 years. But we got an extra £40 million through doing this strategy. So the total infrastructure that comes, that's schools, that's medical facilities, that's roads, that's a new centre for community sport, that's further formal sport on the east side of town, we, through doing that strategy, have set a framework for getting the infrastructure that this town needs. Without that, we would have got the houses, but half or even less the amount of infrastructure. Can I just do one sentence? What you can do in challenging the Northern Arc is when the planning application comes in, which will be within the next year, I would guess, and you can then challenge the detail of it. But however you challenge it, you have got to have evidence. Evidence such as Burgess Hill doesn't need any houses is not evidence, because the planning inspector will say there are about 14,000 on the housing register who are looking for affordable houses in Burgess Hill. 14,000 Burgess Hill people. We should spread it around the district. Two-thirds of the district is protected because it's South Downs National Park, the area of outstanding natural beauty, or the Ashdown Forest, or the impact of the Ashdown Forest. Only a third of Mid-Sussex is available for all these houses. And unfortunately, we live in that third. So whatever you think about fairness, it doesn't count. It won't stack up with the planning inspector. He will say, no, this is a sustainable location which can take the houses. So it's the detail you have to fight. The town council will help you fight the detail. The town council cannot help you fight the principle of development, because that, I'm afraid, has gone.
Thank you very much, Justin.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you very much to the organisers of today's public meeting for inviting me to speak. My name is Justin French Brooks, and I'm chairman of the Mid-Sussex group of CPRE Sussex, and CPRE stands for the Campaign to Protect Rural England. We're part of a national charity that campaigns for a sustainable future for the English countryside. And we want a beautiful, tranquil and diverse countryside that everyone can value and enjoy. As a charity, CPRE Sussex is almost entirely run by volunteers, and indeed, I'm a volunteer myself. We're supported by an informal group of committed individuals who believe passionately that the countryside in Mid Sussex is something to be protected, enhanced and cherished for future generations to enjoy as we do. Needless to say, much of what we do relates to the planning process, and that's the reason we're here today. I've been chairman of the district group for almost a year, and what a year it's been. This time a year ago, we were engaged with many others in a bruising campaign to prevent the coalition government from sweeping away decades of hard work to protect the countryside by allowing a presumption in favour of development. The draft National Planning Policy Framework would have been a tragedy for England, and while the final version is substantially better, we have yet to see what it truly holds for the future of our open spaces. It also seems like the Chancellor is again looking for a confrontation with his party's core vote, as he desperately looks for ways to pump up the national economy by making property development easier. Back to the local picture. Over the past year, I've had to accept some hard truths about life in Mid-Sussex. Firstly, Mid-Sussex will become more urbanised in the coming decades, and the amount of open space we have to enjoy will shrink. And secondly, while I found it particularly hard to believe at first, I now accept that any landowner will sell his or her land for development, however beautiful it is, for the right price. They have been tough things to accept, but beyond these hard truths, I now realise that CPR East Sussex can do certain things, and that with our hard work, with others, we can protect the countryside within these constraints. For example, we can campaign to reduce the number of new housing units that are developed on ecologically valuable green fields, influence the density and quality of the urban development, and try to ensure that important landscape features that characterise the district are protected and, if possible, enhanced. So, ultimately, we may have to accept more light pollution from street lamps and floodlighting, more commuter and school traffic, less tranquility, and possibly greater risk of flooding. Perhaps it's what would once have been called progress. But we don't have to sit quietly by and consider ourselves victims. As I will come on to, there are things we can do to limit the damage to our environment from development. It would be fair to ask how we in Mid Sussex find ourselves in the position of needing to accommodate so much new housing. As the councillor has already referred to, it stems from the efforts of the last Labour government to ramp up house building in the South East, using the now notorious South East plan. Under this plan, Mid Sussex was expected to provide an immense number of housing plots, 17,100 new homes for the district in the period to 2026. That's a 30% increase in the number of existing households and was the sixth largest allocation in the whole of the South East. This suggests to me that our council wasn't persuasive enough right at the beginning of the process in arguing that Mid Sussex is not suitable for mass urbanisation. This level of house building would transform our district into urban sprawl, except for the small South Downs area and perhaps the high-wheeled area of outstanding natural beauty, which fall inside our boundaries, although it does now appear that even AONBs are not as well protected as we'd hoped. Many, many people are hoping that the coalition government fulfils its commitment to abolish the South East plan, which is like a Soviet Union-like document. While Mid Sussex District Council is proposing a smaller number of housing units than the South East plan, 10,600 up to 2031, that still leaves us facing large-scale development. So we should do everything we can to ensure that valuable natural spaces in Mid Sussex are protected. And I want to mention in particular a report by Sir John Norton for the government called Making Space for Nature, a review of England's wildlife sites and ecological network, because it gives us hope. The main message of Lawton's breakthrough document is that our natural world is not a luxury, it's fundamental to our well-being, health and economy, and we are responsible for passing on the natural riches that we have inherited to future generations. Lawton also argues for the creation of green corridors across our landscape to protect nature shrinking into small pockets of isolated decline. He promotes us to provide buffer zones around important natural habitats like hedgerows, woodlands, ponds, rivers and streams, wildlife corridors and buffer zones which would allow species to move between otherwise isolated pockets to feed, disperse, migrate or reproduce. This is one of the things we need to do if we are to stop the decline in the numbers of so many species and the continuing loss of valuable wildlife habitats and to keep accessible green spaces for people. Applying this argument to the open land around Burgess Hill, I encourage local people to investigate the Northern Arc area, keeping within the law, from an ecological perspective. I know that some groups are already doing this. Finding out where the most important mature trees are, where bats, dormice or water voles live and thrive, the location of wildlife-rich ponds, ancient hedgerows and woodland, then demand that they are linked by wildlife motorways, perhaps 100 metres wide. I realise that some of the property developers with proposals in the Northern Arc have already started work on ecological appraisals. These may be available and will be a good place to start before any landscape changes take place, because they will certainly be taking place soon. Then use this knowledge to urge the District Council to ensure that any important ecological features are protected in spite of development taking place. Lobby your District Council officers. Lobby our district councillors. We've got one here, and I know there are a few more here as well. Traditional landscape features are often lost when agricultural land is allocated for housing or industrial use. It's essential that new development schemes protect and sensitively manage these existing features, hedgerows, green lane networks, retaining wildlife corridors through the sites that will be developed. Wide buffers will avoid their loss and pressure of human trampling. The council already has many powers at its disposal to ensure that important local ecological features are conserved for future generations, creating natural connections for wildlife and people. These include tree preservation orders, powers to create local nature reserves, and its ability to use its role as planning authority to protect ancient woodland, which is fast disappearing in the UK. The hedgerows regulations under the Environment Act 1995 were introduced to protect this characteristic element of the countryside. The hedgerows regulations allow councils in England to protect important hedgerows in the countryside through a notification system. Mid Sussex District Council has these powers and it must make use of them. We also need to make sure that our district council properly resources its planning department so that it can square up to developers who promise community benefits but then try to wriggle out of these commitments using expensive lawyers. Similarly, planning conditions such as measures to protect important natural habitats should be met in full, not whittled away. Developers should respect planning officers, not scorn them or be allowed to run rings round them, as has been the experience previously. Speaking more generally, some local authorities also appear to have a habit of setting aside land for recreational purposes and then a few years later allowing the playing fields to be developed for housing while encouraging the recreational use onto agricultural land. This type of development creep is devious and we must resist it. I'd like to finish off by emphasising that with proper buy-in from the District Council, we have the means available to us to ensure that new development is truly sustainable, that it protects and regenerates important natural habitats and green corridors in perpetuity, that it does not have a housing density that turns access roads into impromptu car parks, that it provides healthy open spaces within walking distance, that it allows for a range of housing styles and construction methods built over time, perhaps allowing space for self-builders rather than having hundreds of cookie-cutter units built en masse, and that it allows Mid-Sussex to retain its character rather than becoming renowned for identikit housing estates and business parks. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to take resolute action and make sure that Mid-Sussex District Council not only promises to protect the character of our area, but delivers on its promises.
Thank you very much, Justin. Kevin, the floor is yours.
Good evening. Kevin Hudson, I'm the spokesman for the Burgess Hill Action Group, who are hosting this evening. Before I start, I think I've just got to say one thing. Whatever you think of fairness, it doesn't count. Mr. Barrett-Miles, you said that, and I think these people here are going to tell you exactly what they think of fairness. Okay, Burgess Hill Action Group, what are our origins? We started off under the banner of the No Northern Arc Action Group. So within our graphic we've got there, we were concentrating in the area to the north. One of our main issues was really the consultation around this development. We were kind of finding out about these things. You know, we were being told that it was on its way, and I think Mr. Barrett-Miles has indicated, you know, for plans in place, there's very little we could do. Well, we decided we thought we should do something. So we did a leaflet drop around the town. We set up an e-petition, which as of today had 686 signatures. But the most important thing I think we found out when we started engaging with people and talking to them is that they didn't know this was taking place. Now, the council and the rules that they live by, they have this consultation process. But the returns from that, from what we understand as general members of the public, are so low. 2% of the population of Burgess Hill, less than 2% respond. But what we understand from the council, this is actually quite a good response. So should we stand by and let this happen? Because only 2% were generally in favour of something happening. We're saying no. So really what we found out from this is rather than campaigning against something, we actually found out it's a lot of information. We needed to tell the people what was going on. When we were doing our leaflet drop, so we're just volunteers going out on a Saturday and Sunday morning, we met 26 people washing their cars, trimming their roses in the garden and so on. And we asked them, did you know what was going on with this development? No one knew. So that's 26, not a scientific poll by any means. But it shows you that the information wasn't getting through to the people who were being affected. We then got feedback through our website, and it became apparent that the Northern Arc wasn't the only problem, and the problem really was the strategic development around Burgess Hill. So as you can see there, there's the Northern Arc in the red, and the Kingsway development round to the right-hand side, the east of the town there. So we do think that this affects us all, and I think the people in this room are understanding that it affects them, and they have to get involved. So really we have three principles that are indicated on our poster there. It's stopping the overdevelopment of Burgess Hill. Burgess Hill has been the fastest growing town in mid-Sussex since 1951. When does it stop? Our second one is reducing the number of houses to something that's in character with the town. If we carry on with this development, this won't be the Burgess Hill that we're living in now. It will change beyond all recognition. And our third one is campaigning to save the countryside. So I think Mr. French Brooks was talking about these green corridors and trying to protect the environment and so on. And I think we would all admit that a green corridor is really not the best thing, but it's maybe all we can hope for. Well, we're hoping for more. You know, we live in a rural town. That environment, our countryside is not just homes to all the wildlife that we see around. It also influences the character of the town that we live in. We live in a rural town. It will no longer be a rural town with these developments taking place. And who are we? Well, we are just a bunch of volunteers. What I would like to think is that we are you. We are the residents of Burgess Hill here. So within our kind of active committee, if you would like, we have people who are pensioners, we have local businessmen, we have students, we have parents, we have you know, children in school in the local area. So we're trying to think that we have quite a good cross-section, and we're not just coming from one specific point of view. So on that note, we've been contacted through our website by Holly here, who has prepared a few words, and she'd like to address you. So, Holly, you go to school in the local area. So, how do you feel about the houses that are being planned in Burgess Hill?
Hello. Well, I am a pupil at Downing School in Hessex, and well, I feel that if the council is going to go ahead with this building plan, then I think it'll be a huge mistake which cannot be undone. We all know that 6,211 is a very large number, and I cannot see how that many houses are going to blend in or even fit in with Burgess Hill. Just think, there will be approximately 3 people per family, which averages out to a total of approximately 18,000 more people coming into Burgess Hill. That's 18,000. Being a GCSE geographer, have studied and have knowledge about the future impacts and sustainability that a development like this will entail. For example, 6,211 more houses will mean 6,211 more households who will want to go to the local schools and local colleges. They will want to have a job. They will want to use the public transport and to use the local facilities around us. And all these situations will affect everybody living in Burgess Hill and its neighbouring towns, whether we want it to or not. So it's a question of whether you are okay with having your quality of life dramatically decreased, or if you are happy and proud to live in a manageable town like Burgess Hill as you do today. In 2 years' time, we, being me and my friends at the front who are also going through the same things as me, we will be able to legally vote, and if the campaign is still happening, our vote is going to go to the party who is going against it.
Thank you, Holly. That was brilliant. So just to finish off from the Burgess Hill Action Group point of view, as we open this up to the floor, I think that there's some important points that we need to understand. You will hear the term infrastructure. Question that. What does that mean? Make sure you understand what this word infrastructure means. Understand the difference between Mid-Sussex District and Burgess Hill Town. We feel that we're taking a hit for the whole district here, so make sure that that's understood. Understand the word sustainable. So in the policy framework, planning framework, there's this presumption in favour of sustainable development. Okay, so even in, you know, when we've engaged with legal people to try and explain that, it's a statement that can just be argued either way. So every time somebody says, here's a reason that this means it is a sustainable development, there is always a very good reason to say why it is not. So I think we just need to keep that in mind. And I think just finally to finish off, we're here to make sure that whatever planning and whatever building takes place in Burgess Hill is right for Burgess Hill, and it happens for the good of Burgess Hill, and it doesn't happen just because it's easy and can be done.
Thank you all very much. Now, we've got Donna in the yellow and Tina in the green. Firstly, just before we have the Q&A, and we'll start with the gentleman in the middle, I would like to say, please don't... please keep everything civil. The gentleman in the middle, halfway down.
Hello, good evening. I'm not sure if people are aware that sustainability, in as far as housing is concerned, every house in 2016 has to be environmentally, their footprint has to be neutral on new developments. Now, it's almost impossible to do that now. So give it 4 years down the line, I don't think there's any chance of this happening. Now, I just hope it doesn't happen. I hope that the buildings don't take place. And I think it's a scar on Burgess Hill. It really is. If this happens to Burgess Hill, it will be something that's written in the history books. And really, I think it's just so bad. But why we allow our councillors to go through this, supposedly on our behalf, I just don't know. I really don't know. It's not that, oh, hello, we've just woken up 6 years, 10 years after something started to happen. And we should learn from mistakes. When you can't trust people, certain groups of people, they're only in it for greed. Only. There's nothing else. They just want greed. Now, they don't care if they take money off of you if you don't have much. They don't care. As long as they get your money, they're happy. And I just hate the whole thing. But these houses, as I say, they have to be, by 2016, they have to be totally sustainable and totally carbon neutral. And how are they going to go about that? Because it's not happening at the moment.
And I'm sorry, just one other point of order. If you wouldn't mind just saying your name out of politeness, and also if your question is addressed to a specific member of the panel, please could you reference who it is to. And that gentleman over there was next.
Thank you. Just my name is Robert Eggleston. Firstly, a general point. We've got 6,211 mathematics, brilliantly accurate, coming in the next 20 years. And if you think about that logically, these are, rightly, households who will have children. And if only planning could end after 20 years, because those children in those houses are going to grow up and will want houses of their own. And extrapolating from where we are in 20 years' time to, say, another 10 or 15 years, the reality is, isn't it, that we are going to end up with 9,000 houses in Burgess Hill if we continue on that basis. And that's a town almost the same size as Burgess Hill is currently already. And I think, you know, just stopping the clock in 20 years' time is really a bit of a false perspective, prospectus, and we've got to look much further ahead of that and decide whether growth in Burgess Hill on that scale is appropriate or whether there is not another alternative in the region. In terms of the infrastructure, and this is a question directed to Andrew, when you deduct the cost of the new secondary school and the two primary schools, which are a consequence of the development, and all the road networks, which are a consequence of the road development. How much of that £40 million is left?
Nothing. £40 million. Because you, as I said, the basic 106 money from building anything will give us, for that number of houses, £40 million normally. That includes the school, community centres, roads, sports facilities, all the things they have to build. That's prescribed. It's a formulaic thing run by Mid Sussex and West Sussex. We, the Town Council, have negotiated an additional £40 million over and above the standard £40 million. So, yes, they have to provide the basic things. There's no escape from that. But we have negotiated an additional £40 million. So, in total, from these developments, there will be £80 million. And the first of those 106 agreements, which it will be with the Sunlit site, which only gives us 8 million out of the 80 million, will be signed probably this week or next week. So it is happening. I would also like to connect Mr. Barry Mills, who I know well. I'd like to correct one thing. The council doesn't build houses. It's private, it's companies that build houses. It's people who sell their land to developers who cause houses to be built. The reason that Northern Arc is so big is there was a big chunk of land called a golf course, and an option was taken out on that golf course. If that hadn't happened, we may have ended up with a different result. I can't be sure about that. But if the developers had not had options on all this land, their aspirations would not have been accepted by Mid Sussex or by the Town Council. So the minute somebody said, oh yeah, I'm happy to sell my piece of land for X, or he'd just give you an option, then that's the green light that the developers, the councillors do not build houses. We at the Town Council don't give planning permission. That's the joy of Mid Sussex. They give planning permission. If they don't give planning permission, then it goes to the planning inspector, who will, you know, who is one man or woman, you know, has the final decision over what happens. So our role as the Town Council, we see it, is to get as much as we can from developments which we can't stop, but also to ensure those developments, and I agree with everything that the gentleman here from CPRE said, and the young lady said, you know, we have got to make these developments fit in with Burgess Hill and with the countryside. And that's a role which the Town Council will willingly take on, and actually the District Council will also ensure that will happen. If you just look at the Sunless development for a minute on the east side of town, all the hedgerows have been preserved. They are developing all the ancient hedgerows. They are developing it in like little fields of houses to preserve the ancient structure of the fields. Now, that was a result of Natural England coming down heavily on them. Natural England will be crawling all over the Northern Arc development to ensure that we do get wildlife corridors or motorways. I like that expression. So we will ensure, we can't stop these things. If we could, I'm a Luddite like everybody else in here. I would stop them, to be quite honest. I hate houses, but we have children. Children have to live somewhere. Our population is expanding by 10 million every 10 years or whatever it magically is. Where are these people going to go? So,
Kevin. Yeah, Mr. Barrett-Miles, just like to say that you seem to lay the blame firmly at the door of the property. The landowners and the property developers there. And I think that we've got to say that one of the reasons these houses are being built is because the council has come up with what they're calling this bottom-up plan that we've said only 2% of the population agreed with. So I think that the council's got a role to play as well.
The council didn't come up with any ideas of where the houses would be. The Northern Arc and the Sunlis development, they came in with their proposals. Yes, we were working at the time saying, we know we're going to get X houses round the town,
We know what the infrastructure problems are. We also know what additional benefits we'd like. We'd like a really good formal sports area. So we had defined our requirements in terms of delivery. We didn't define where things should go. We have no right to do that. But when the developers came in and said, look, we're developing plans for this area, and Sunlist came in with their plans for their area, we said, okay, we have this requirement. If you are going to develop around, whoever develops around Burgess Hill will have to provide us with this infrastructure. So our emphasis was totally on infrastructure. We then had to consult, as you quite rightly said, there have been three consultations on this over the last 3 years, and it has been in the press. I've got sheets of times it's been in the press. Those people who live in my ward, you were leafleted by me, and I said, come and talk to me in the Woolpack pub on this particular night. Two nights I did it. Yeah, I got a few people coming along, maybe 20. Interestingly, a gentleman from another ward, who's sitting in the front row here, actually came along and discussed it with me. Now, you can't force people to come and talk to you, but you give them the opportunity. And to be quite honest, if you don't, you know, you're to blame to some extent. I don't mean you personally, Barry, but you know what I mean. Okay.
I've just got one thing that I would like to quickly add to that is, as chairman of the district, CPRE Mid Sussex District, I have a strong feeling that the district council does not yet believe in sustainability, has not made a commitment to the natural environment, and has not made a commitment to the ecosystems that surround our towns. And I would really like them to do that. I genuinely don't think that they think there are any votes in protecting the countryside around here. I would like them to prove us wrong by showing their commitment to using all the tools they have available to them to protect the areas around our towns. And secondly, I also genuinely believe that our planning department in the district is not sufficiently well-resourced, sufficiently robust, and sufficiently green to make sure that the things that I outlined in my speech actually happen. And that's where people power will work. So if you could take anything away from tonight, please take that away from me.
Thank you. Chris French, Chairman for UKIP Mid Sussex. Just like to say thank you very much. Great job on the organisation tonight, and a fantastic speech from that young lady, Holly, at the front there. She did ask about which party will be opposing this, and obviously UKIP are dead set against this, and we'll be fielding candidates in the county council. Thank you. I'd just like to move on to my question, though. And frankly, I have looked at this so-called consultation, and it has been no such consultation whatsoever. It is awfully flawed. It's a disgrace. I feel embarrassed that it's been carried out as it has been carried out. And yeah, just to pick up on that figure of 1.5% of the population voted to support the town-wide strategy. It's a disgrace. 98.5% of the other people haven't been asked or haven't responded. And just to give you an idea of my strength of feeling on this, or a good example of what I regard as the deceitfulness of our town council, is a letter written in January 2011.
Yes, do you have a question?
My question is this. Do you, Andrew Barrett-Miles, think that your letter addressed to the conservation group, Friends of the Green Circle, are you proud of this letter? That's my question. Your letter to the conservation group, the Green Circle, in which you said criticism of the town council's controversial housing strategy would not be tolerated, and if it were to continue, council funding would be withdrawn. Are you proud of that letter? Should you resign?
I don't mind answering. Yes, this was all part of a verbal debate that was being had with the Green Circle, which we've now amicably resolved, because they have been working with us on these developments, particularly with respect to the Sunlist developments. And if you ask Dominic about this, he will tell you that he is happy to work to get something which is green for Burgess Hill, because these developments are going to
complete the green circle around Burgess Hill. They're going to create the links between the green circle and the centre of town. We are actually improving the environment around the town by doing this. The developments, the Sunless developments, yeah, it may be amusing, but it's a fact. The Sunless development actually is going to improve Ditchling Common. There's a substantial amount of money being put aside for the improvement of Ditchling Common. I've got no idea what the Northern Arc is going to.
Building houses on it.
Pardon?
Yeah.
What was that?
They've got building houses on it.
No, don't be silly. No. Improving the actual Ditchling Common, particularly the bit that abuts to Burgess Hill, is actually in a very bad state ecologically. I don't know what that means, but that's what I'd get told. And they are putting a lot of money in to actually pay for an additional ranger to look after Ditchling Common. So, no, Ditchling Common, that is actually protected totally and utterly. That, as I said, that letter actually enabled us to reach an accommodation with the only people who seriously voted against the town-wide strategy. Remember, we didn't have to do any consultation on the town-wide strategy. We're not a planning authority. You know, we don't have any statutory obligation. We thought it was right. Or 12 of us, at least 12 of us, stood out in the marketplace for 8 weeks on a Saturday morning to consult with people. We allowed people to come and talk with us. Lots of people did. Lots of people didn't bother to fill in the forms. But we did that because we believe in Burgess Hill. We don't want... Hey, don't shake your head. We believe in Burgess Hill. You don't know what we believe in, so be careful.
It's a threat. Why are you threatening
people? So we believe in Burgess Hill, and we want to get the best for Burgess Hill. If you don't, you can't say no to development because it's not in our hands. It's in no party's hands.
Why would Green Circle
vote
against?
No, thank you. We'll come to everyone. I know everyone's got a lot of hands up. We'll go to one question down here, we'll go to one question in the middle, and then the lady at the back in the white jumper.
Hello, Karen George, as an individual, not as a question from the Burgess Hill Action Group. Do you have any cast iron guarantees from Mid-Sussex District Council and the developers that Burgess Hill Town Council will actually receive and administer all the CIL monies, i.e. the £80 million you referred to before? And I'm sure I've read somewhere that your requirements currently come in over £100 million. Would you like to comment?
Cast iron guarantees. Well, none of it's going to be CIL, for a start. That's Community Infrastructure Levy, which is a new thing that the government is bringing in. It will all probably be 106 because of the time.
Of the 80
million, 40 will be totally, will go to the County Council and Mid-Sussex. The County Council stuff is for roads, which we
have.
Do
you have any cast iron guarantees, is my question, of actually getting that money?
Yes, 100% of that money will be spent in the Burgess Hill area.
Can you
include
that?
Yeah, yes, of course you can.
Yeah.
Okay, great. The gentleman in the middle.
Thank you. It's a question for Andrew. It's Andy Genders. I live in Bramwell Gardens. I successfully fought against the Triangle development last year, and I want to know what the council, because it was the council that decided that was not going to go ahead, why the council is now saying that it can't object or stop this development in Northern Arc. And by the way, I'd just like to remind the audience that there is also the potential development of a waste facility at Goddard's Green on the horizon. I want to know why the council turns around and says it can't do anything when it could stop its own development of the Triangle last year.
You've actually answered your question there. It was their land. They are the landowner. Therefore, you know, they are the ones who are doing who are getting somebody to do the development. It's the same as the Northern Arc. The landowners are giving their land selling their land to somebody to do the development. As you probably know, I am very active in the campaign to stop a DIY store at
at the Triangle. It nearly cost me my place at the district council because my party didn't like my reaction.
Thank you. But then my second question then, if you were against that, would you put your job on the line for the Northern Arc and any future Greenland development in our town?
No, because I can't stop private companies from doing, it's commerce. I can't say stop it. The district council can refuse the application, and if we've got good enough reasons, I do use the word if deliberately, if we come up with good enough reasons that the district council can refuse the application, it then goes to the planning inspector. It's then totally out of both councils' hands. So it's in the hands of the district council to approve the development or not. The town council doesn't have any say in that at all, but the town council can put forward, together with the people here, reasons why an application can be refused. But it can't be on, we don't want any more houses, because the inspector will not accept that. Now, it's unfortunate. Or we are taking more than Haywards Heath, or we are taking more than East Grinstead. The inspector will not accept that as a reason. It is unfair. I hate it being so unfair. But, it's how it is. I look at the houses over in my ward. I mean, those houses weren't there 20 years ago. They've been built. They've been absorbed. They are now part of Burgess Hill. That's, unfortunately, the way life works. If I had any power, I would try and stop it. But I have no power to stop commercial enterprise, and I have, which is being carried out within the law. That is what we're up against.
Right, there's a lady at the back.
Hello, my name is Barbara Woods, and I'm a member of CPI in Sussex and also the Haywards Heath Society, and I live in Haywards Heath. I am concerned about the development in both Burgess Hill and Haywards Heath, and there is a lot of development potentially coming to Haywards Heath as well. And what we could end up with, of course, is a very, very large merged settlement, which could be the size of a small city. Now, the question you ask yourselves is, do we want that size conurbation in between Crawley and Brighton? Because this isn't just by the last Labour government, it's by the current government, who a few weeks ago scrapped the MPPF. And the leader of the district council said to me a few weeks ago, can you please tell me what the planning policy is of the central government? Because we for goodness sake don't know. So the first question I'd ask, with the new rules that have been brought in, scrapping some of the regulations that have only just been ironed out, what implications are there on these developments? Also, I think it's disingenuous of councillors to say it's not our fault, Gov. At the end of the day, we've had decades of indecision from the district council, and that is why we are partly in the mess we're in now. And that is all political parties, not just one.
And is that addressed to someone?
So that's everything. The other, just one, two more points. The point about ecological networks is very important. We have Ditchling Common to the east. We have a whole series of river networks within the Northern Arc. You also have Beadlands Local Nature Reserve and Ashen Ground and Bolnor Local Nature Reserves, and also Bluntswood and Pages Meadow Local Nature Reserve. These can all be connected up at the moment quite easily, and not without a gigantic amount of cost. If you develop the Northern Arc the way that is being proposed, you will end up losing that opportunity for good. So I would urge, like Justin said, I would urge the council to actually take green matters a little bit more seriously than they seem to have done in the past.
All I can say is, thanks Barbara, all I can say is that I don't think anyone is really sure about what, and it is the Chancellor, it's George Osborne who is particularly determined to I think, abandon localism, which was always a little bit of a fig leaf anyway, I think, but it is determined to drive property development in England and the South East in particular, because the economy is still growing here. I personally think that he will probably stop at nothing to make sure that there's lots more development around here. And I think the only way that you can register your opposition to that is to speak to your MP. And I know lots of people already have. But it's particularly worrying now that we had the National Planning Policy Framework, which we spent a lot of time and effort trying to make more sympathetic to people in the South East. And we did that. And apparently it's all being thrown away now because it is too green. And I just find that it is very, very upsetting, I think, for everybody who lives in the South East and who values open land.
Thank you. I'm Councillor Susan Knight. I'm Councillor for the East of Burgess Hill. One thing I have to... I mean, it is going to be extremely difficult to stop any development in Burgess Hill. In fact, you're not going to be able to stop most of it. I personally was sat on the council for 14 years. I was the vice chairman of the last development for Burgess Hill. That development was actually, Andrew, we decided where we wanted that development. District councillors can and do decide where they want a development. And the developers then, if we manage to get that through, have to develop there. The reason why we developed on what is the west side of the town is because our industrial estate was so unsafe, it was unbelievable. And I mean unsafe. You could not, when it was rush hour, you could not possibly have got an ambulance or a fire engine on that industrial estate. And a number of councillors sat down. It all had to be in private, because then it had to be. It no longer does. Sat down and decided where we thought we ought to develop. We also found out how much money we could get out of the landowners, not the developers. It's not the developers, it's the landowners. And that money was got. We didn't quite get all we wanted by the simple fact that the County Council decided it wanted more for a road, and it managed to do that. So please don't think the District Council can't do anything. It can. However, it cannot do anything if it hasn't got enough officers to do it. And I have been complaining for so long about the number of planning officers at the District Council, I am fed up of complaining.
Well, thank you very much.
There's hardly any real planning goes on at the District Council, and the County Council is now having to send highway officers down at a cost of a fortune to be at their planning meetings.
Great, thank you. There was someone else at the back. We'll come to you next.
My name's Carol Lambert. I'm a lifelong Burgess Hill resident. I've listened very carefully to what Mr. Barrett Miles has said, and I know you're a bit under siege here, but what you seem to be saying is that this is more or less a done deal, and thank you all for turning up, but really, it's going to happen. We've got three layers of local authority, a town council, a district council, and a county council. What is their combined strategy to represent the views of the people here and the rest of the people who live in Burgess Hill? Because it seems to me that the gentlemen from the Burgess Hill Action Group and the CPRE have got a bit more of the Dunkirk spirit about them. You know, when they built the Chanctonbury Estate, nobody really wanted that. I was a child then, but I seem to remember my parents whinging about that. Folders Lane, my parents lived at the top of Manor Road. They didn't want that. We had a councillor next door to us, Mr. Len Carter. I don't know if anybody remembers him. He didn't really get involved. We have you, the town, the district, and the county council at enormous expense. Yes, it might happen, but what we want is for you to stand up and speak out collectively for the views of the people here that we don't want this now or at any time in the future. Yep, they might build it, but at least they will know that they're doing it without the consent of the local people. Are you actually going to have a strategy that the three of you...
together and stop bickering amongst themselves over party politics and represent the views of the people who are here tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how to answer this one. The district council and the town council and the county council were all party to the development of the strategy because they all were aware that these houses would be built, and the strategy was to ensure, first of all, that we get the infrastructure, rather like Sue did when she organised the development of the west side of town, where a lot of you live now. So the strategy was to get together and say, if these are going to be built, we want this to happen. The district council and the town council have jointly tackled government for a large number of years on the 17,100 houses that was imposed through the South East Plan. The number of correspondence meetings that have happened on that, but you know, you try and tell government that you don't want to go along with their plans, apart from civil disobedience, which I trust you're not actually suggesting we do. Well, you can if you like, but I won't sign up to civil disobedience. Our strategy was to get them to change the plan. I thought when our new government came in, I took them at my word, maybe I'm naive, that they were going to get rid of the South East Plan. They haven't got rid of it, so it's hanging like sword of Damocles over our head. It is dictating what happens. If I could go out and say, no, I don't want a single house built to the north of Burgess Hill, I would. But I actually wouldn't be doing the young people, or the future young people of Burgess Hill, a favour by doing that. Because where are your children going to live? Or your grandchildren? My grandchildren. Where are they going to live? Are we going to send them up north? Is that what you want? Where are plenty of houses? I don't. Where are the 1,400 people on the housing register going to live? Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, just a couple of points on that. Mr. Barrett-Miles, you were talking about the younger generations. One of the things when the lady spoke there and said, I felt that this was a done deal, I saw some of the young people in the audience just shake their head like that because that was almost resigned to the fact. So, you know, we've got generations here that we do need to look after. And just one other thing, the Dunkirk spirit, that was a war that we actually won. So let's carry on fighting.
Thank you very much. Graham Knight, district councillor for St Andrew's Ward. And Andrew, I think you're being very, very shy and reserved tonight because you're not mentioning at all your role at the district council as chairing, I forget what the name of the group is now, but the strategic planning group for Mid-Sussex, whatever it is. But you know what I mean. So,
scrutiny of planning and economic development.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for the clarity. I just lose the titles in the mist of time. Andrew, you know, I find it very difficult to stand here. I've got a lot of sympathy with people that are in the room, but, you know, come on, let's not be too disingenuous about this. That, you know, the Northern Arc was there because the district council for a generation has walked away from its responsibility of developing housing in Mid-Sussex. whether it's in Burgess Hill, Hayward's Heath, East Grinstead, or any of the villages in between. It's never, in the time that I've been on, and that's since 95, and I had a little bit of a sabbatical, thanks to some of your colleagues, in that time, we have never had a strategic plan for Mid-Sussex. It used to be the town plans. But since that happened under Labour, which is, getting on for 14, 15 years ago, the district councillors walked away from its responsibility. The councillors collectively have walked away from their responsibilities. Since 1999, can you tell me how many plans that we've thrown out that would have actually given us protection? Because if you can't, I can.
Is that a question? Oh, right. Yeah, I wasn't on the district council in 99, so I don't know what happened prior to 2003. I think that's when I joined it. As far as I know, you and I have worked on a couple which have not seen the light of day. But that's not seen the light of day because if we followed those plans, we would have accepted the southeast plan number of 17,100. It's a bit ingenuous to actually fight it and say you're not going to accept the number and then do a plan to accept the number. And therefore, when this new government came in, it gave us the chance to determine what number Mid-Sussex, number of houses it required. That's the study came up with 10,600, on which their current draft plan, and it's still a draft plan, was produced. Now, you know as well as I, they can't issue that draft plan for the last bit of consultation because it doesn't conform to the South East plan. This is getting quite technical, folks, and I don't think it really aids the debate very much, to be quite honest. I agree if the last plan we had was the 2004 plan. If we'd had a plan in 2008 which was acceptable, which conformed with the 17,100 houses, we would be still having the same discussion this evening.
Well, there was two plans before the Boris plan, and we rejected both of them.
I'm not aware of that, Graham, because I wasn't there.
So I think Mr. Barrett-Miles has mentioned this 17,000 houses. So I think this is a point where we need to point out the difference between Mid-Sussex and Burgess Hill. When it was 17,000 houses, okay, you reduce that to 10,600. Mm-hmm. When it was 17,000, the Northern Arc and the Kingsway development were exactly the same size as they are now when it's 10,600. So in terms of a defence, we're actually taking a larger proportion of the houses. So what we're seeing there is a reduction within Mid-Sussex, exactly the same for Burgess Hill.
OK, great. This lady.
Thank you very much, and thank you for organising this evening. I'm Anne Jones, and I have the sin of being a councillor too for the district and for the town. And there are a couple of things. None of the land really is in Burgess Hill because we're landlocked. The land is in the villages around. And all the land around Burgess Hill is in the hands of developers. I went to East Grinstead and the developer didn't know me. He said, I own all the land south of Folders Lane. There won't be just coalescence with Hayward's Heath. It's with Hassocks. It's for all the villages around. And so if we don't plan, they can all be built on tomorrow. They can put an application in. We can refuse it, and then it goes to appeal, as happened so many times, and the inspector comes in and grants it. There will be no infrastructure, because then they don't contribute to anything, and we are the poorer for it. And I'm very angry about that, honestly. And being on the inside, it's been a number of years. If you look at Hayward's Heath with Bolnor, they still have not completed the relief road. The only thing they got out of all those houses, they didn't get the triangle. They didn't get the green circle. We are looking at sustainability in Burgess Hill. It's so important not to become like Crawley. But the other issue is, Councillor Knight has said about the transport, the guys coming over for highways. So they should come to our meetings, because the numbers of years we've sat on planning and highways have agreed a site is suitable when it is not suitable, because we all know it, and they've not even, they've looked on the desk, computer desk, and said the site is all right. And we need them to now come, when we are looking at any sites, to say, look, there's all this development, we want those roads to be suitable, we want the access road. I am in those houses that you said, I live in the Chanctonbury area, and they're lovely, and they were built in the 50s and 60s. But the traffic and the roads are not suitable.
Justin has.
So we have a lot of problems. So Justin, what my question to you was, with all of your skills, is that we do need to work very closely on what we're trying to preserve. And the extension to the Green Circle and the work for the Beadlands and Bachelor's Farm is all important part of that. And I think what's coming out to me is the closer we all work, the better to get what is right. I'd rather we didn't have any big developments, because Burgess Hill is lovely as it is. But if we don't, we're in danger of just becoming one giant housing estate.
Well, thank you very much for that. I mean, I just want to say one thing on with regard to local democracy. I think many of us will have views on whether people who are a town councillor should also be allowed to be a district councillor, should also be allowed to be a county councillor. It's like Russian dolls. But in particular, I have to agree, and I'm speaking personally here, is I have found the West Sussex Highways Department to be extremely pro-growth, in the sense that I can't recall them ever really having opposed anything on the basis of highways. Now, I'm sure someone will pop up and say, well, actually, there was X, Y, Z. But in my direct experience, they seem to wave everything through. And so my question is, I don't know if there are any councillors here who are county councillors, but please, can you please knock your transport department into shape?
Well, they
have to
visit
the law, and I have an
eye, make
sure they do.
That's why you don't
support us. Thank you. Yeah. The gentleman on the right. No, sorry, sir. Sorry. That's just behind you. You'll be next.
Hello. Hi, Andrew. This is two questions specifically aimed at yourself. My name's Dave Rogers. I'm a local resident, not too far from the proposed Northern Arc development. Do understand people need houses to live in, believe me. Really, this goes back to the question the lady in the corner over there and a few other people have brought up, but not specific questions. It's really based on what I perceive or understand happened at Bolnor Village with regard to the amenities. I'm a bit worried and concerned the council, as mentioned by other people here, aren't up to the job of overseeing a project of this size. What I'd like you to do is clear up, explain, however you might describe it, the situation that happened at Bolnor with the monies that were put aside for amenities, and what happened and why, as I understand it, the amenities didn't materialise. That's the first specific question. Also, the second one is, can lay people be involved officially to ensure fair play during council progress meetings on what I'm quite sure will be some sort of development in the Northern Arc and that other area? So two specific questions which I'd like you to answer. If you can't answer them now, I would like feedback on them after the meeting. You have my email address.
Yeah. Very quickly, I don't really know the Bolnor situation very well, except I know the last little bit was due to the fact that the land hadn't been purchased for phases 5 or 6, and because of the change in economic circumstances, the developer said, I can't purchase this land, I don't know who it belonged to, therefore you're going to have to reduce the amount of affordable housing. And that was a viability test which the government sets, and the council passed that change. I actually was one who was on the planning committee then, and I thought it sounded fishy, but I couldn't prove it. On how things are going to develop, I've already spoken to what was then the No Northern Arc Group, and said, get yourself registered as a group with the district council, which they've done. Therefore, you will then be in the communication loop. I hope you are in the communication loop. Not that there's been that much to communicate.
Can we be a representative in whatever board governs all of this stuff as to represent some of the local people?
At the moment, the setting up of the board to look at, to take the whole of the Burgess Hill strategy forward rests with the district council, who are in the process of setting it up. That's all I can say. I ideally would have liked to have seen it set up 6 months ago with representatives of the three major councils and members of the public. What we have established in Burgess Hill is something called a community interest company, which will have representatives of, this is going to be the vehicle which will look after the infrastructure, the additional £40 million, which we hope we're going to get. That CIC will be...
Pardon? You gave the most quote earlier, you said you had 100% cast iron guarantees of 80 million.
That 40 million that we will get, I'm always a bit cautious, but we will get. So thank you for picking me up.
Pleasure.
Okay, great. So we've got very short time.
That will have lay members on it. It's the only way it will ever work.
Would you be able to get an answer on the Bolnor situation? A bit fishy? Hollow and fishy? That's worrying terminology.
That's my personal view. I'll get somebody to provide you the information, Dave.
Okay, great. Now, we only have another 6 minutes left. Perhaps we could go to a new format, which is a rapid-fire Q&A. No long questions, no long answers.
No speeches,
obviously.
I thought I'd been...
I'm so sorry.
I thought I'd been picked up once before, so I have to hurry through it now. There's been a lot of comment about councillors. Sorry, my name is Doug Penfold. A lot of comment about councillors. All I can say is you only get the councillors you deserve. And Andrew will know the figures, but I think I'm right in saying that if you get a 25% turnout for a local council election, that's a pretty high figure. So if you don't turn out and vote for them, you won't get the people you want and you won't get the policies you want.
And a question?
The second thing is the Green Circle, there was opposition. It came from one person. It wasn't from the Green Circle as such. And I wouldn't like the Green Circle to be maligned in any way in opposing this because it was purely the work of one man.
And your question? Sorry.
Ditchling Common is not in West Sussex. Why are we spending money on Ditchling Common? It's not in West Sussex. It's a great amenity for Burgess Hill, but would East Sussex spend money on West Sussex? Not on your life, they keep dumping more and more development right on the edge of our town.
I'm not sure that's a question.
Development. It's been mentioned a number of times. Look it up in the dictionary, it'll give you all sorts of answers. I asked a developer, what do you understand by it? He said, it means I'm going to build houses with sustainable materials. So I wrote to our MP. He sent me back a copy from Hansard of the question that he put to the Secretary of State on the same question. And the official definition of the government is that it is a sustainable to meet the needs of the present generation without compromising the needs of any future generation.
I'm sorry, I'm going to
have to... Now, you try and work that one out without having a crystal ball to gaze into.
I'm sorry. We've only got 5 minutes. I'm so sorry, sir.
So that's all I'm
sorry. The gentleman in the middle.
Roger Cartwright from Lib Dems, Burgess Hill. 17,100, I understood actually that the figure was higher in the original regional plan, and we reduced it down to that unilaterally. But the question really is that we signed up to, what is it, 5,000 in the strategy, or is it more? But who else is signing up to make up that 17,100? Because basically my understanding is Hayward's Heath aren't at the moment signing up to anything, East Grinstead aren't signing up to anything, and there's a smattering around the villages. And the feeling is that we're going to get dumped on as Burgess
I'm
Hill.
Sorry, is that a question?
And
I'm so
the
sorry,
question is, how do you make up that 17,100 houses? Because the District Council seems to be very much at fault here for not having any form of strategy, and we, as a result, just get dumped on over and over again.
Hi, my name is Peter Chapman. Andrew, can you confirm or deny that town councillors have essentially been told to sell the benefits and not to speak out against the plans if they disagree with them? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, councillors are our elected representatives, our voice, so why are the councillors being told to all sing from the same hymn sheet and not speak out against the plans? That's not what councillors are for.
Just a very quick answer.
I couldn't agree more with you.
Well, why is it happening?
It is not happening.
I know it is.
No, you don't. You can't say something is happening, which isn't. That is not happening. The councillors have been told what the strategy is, which is the housing are going to come, whether it's in the number which, you know, the 4,000 strategic houses, or whether it's going to be less, that will come about because, the challenges that the Northern Arc Group and the town council will make on the plans. Already the Sunday's one went for, okay, it's only reduced by 20, but it got reduced by 20 because of some concerns that we had about hedgerows.
You've got a councillor in here now who's told me that they were told to sell the benefits. They have. There's a guy in here now who was told sell the benefits.
No. We've just... We want to give as many people a chance to speak as possible.
It is true.
To this gentleman.
It is true.
One at the back, please. The back.
Just an answer to Peter Chapman there. I'm Steve Hansford, I'm a town councillor. Nobody's told me to work from a script. That's all, thank you.
That's because you're from the party who's putting
okay,
this
thank
through.
Thank you, and then this lady on the right.
Sorry, that is when the consultation was being done, town councillors at the consultation were told to sell the benefits.
Thank you.
Town councillors came up to me. I was on the town council at the time, and that's what they told me.
No, nobody here has actually thought about where one water, where the hell is the sewage works? It can't cope now. It stinks. Is that going to be sorted out before any other housing estate goes up, if it does?
Okay, we've got time for one more, and that gentleman, although has anyone not asked a question yet? I'm sorry. But there are some people that have not yet.
Okay. Just be quick. My name is Barry Mills. I might have said that earlier. Do beg your pardon. Yeah, my overall...
Barry, you have to be quick.
Sorry, my overall thought about all this, when we had the Falklands, it was the Falkland Islanders, even though there was only a few handful of people, they got what they wanted and what they needed. What we want is totally different to what everybody tells us we want. Now, what's going wrong? Is someone getting into someone's pocket, or what is going on? Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. And then our last.
My name's Clive Lambert. I was brought along here just to be with my wife, actually. But actually, having come here, I can understand why we're all here. I ask a simple question. What is the action from the action group? What are we going to do?
That is a very good question. So, website details. We have template letters on the website. Write to your MP. Stand up. Get your voice heard. So not only speak out, but make sure that people are listening. I have to say that there was quite a lot when we started this meeting about it's a done deal, it's going to go ahead. There's not a single brick in the ground at the moment. Let's stand up. Let's get people listening to what we want. Because you're right, we have to be represented. We need to get our voices heard.
Can you mention the Campaign Supporters Network? Just contact us because we need more hands to pump.
There's a Campaign Supporters Network that my assistants just advised. So all details on the website. Visit there. It's all included there.
We need more hands.
Thank you very much. Everybody, thank you all so much.